welcome to Grid Talk, your weekly RC racing podcast with your host, myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bowden. How are you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, mate. Not too bad, but I'll be better if you can tell me all about our fabulous sponsors.
Epic, mate. Let me thank the sponsors. So a massive thank you to CMO Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing, and Willspeed, the companies that keep us on every week and throw us a couple of prizes at Christmas. So we might as well just go straight in. We've been speaking a little bit off air anyway, but Yassir Magal, how you doing, mate? You okay?
Not bad, yourselves?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. We are here to get your EOS rundown, sir.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because obviously you were at Dawn at the weekend racing two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. So, first of all, let's talk about your results, and then we'll talk a little bit about the logistics of how you got on, how you got there, who you travelled with, and stuff like that.
Yep. So, results-wise, two-wheel drive, I ended up pole in the D final.
Okay.
Now, it was a good result, for sure. I was hoping on the C, and literally last run, I had a couple of errors, and it just cost me. I don't think there was any more in it to give from me. I think that was just the pace I had. I lost out on 10th in the C by literally a couple of seconds on best time. We had the same scores, and I got beaten by a French driver, I believe. Can't remember his name. But, yeah, wasn't too displeased with that. I ended up winning the finals in the end. You get two legs out there. The first leg, we finished a close second, and the second leg, I managed to win by quite a margin. So, yeah. Then four-wheel drive, started off well, had a couple of issues through the day, got them sorted towards the end, managed to rescue the result, lined up fourth in the E final, and managed to finish second in the first leg, and screwed up the third leg quite badly from first, and ended up third on the last lap. So ended up finishing third in the E final overall, but still quite happy with that considering I'm not really a four-wheel drive driver as per se, but wasn't too bad.
That's not too shabby. I mean, considering there was like literally 7 million people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to, this whole, we've added too many drivers, so we're all going to have to do 4 minutes. Was it a vote or was it like just they said that's what we're doing?
Well, so I'm not entirely sure because we booked our flights to go out there on the Thursday as we did last year.
Yeah.
And as the time got nearer, they decided to move it to a Thursday practice. And then they weren't sure on timing. So we thought, okay, they'll have a Thursday midday kind of start. We thought, okay, that's fine. We'll get there in time. And as time went along a little bit, they then decided, okay, we've got too many entries. They sent out an email to all the drivers saying, can we start racing on the Thursday? And obviously, I was traveling with a few racers and we all emailed back straight away saying, no, we're not able to do that. We booked our flights. Everything's arranged. We can't be changing that now. So in the end, what they did was Thursday was practice for everyone, open practice. Well, they say open practice. It's within your heats.
Yeah.
Open, they call it. So I was told when we got there, the option was, I don't know if they voted it before we got there or what happened or it was a unanimous decision. I'm not sure. But basically they said the options we've got are four-minute runs or three runs at 5 minutes. And they decided to go with four-minute runs. And to be fair, that's what I would have chosen out of those two, just because obviously, as you know, it can go wrong if you only have 3 5-minute runs. If you have a error in one or you manage to break your car in one, that means the other two have to count. That's what happened to me last year. So to be fair, it wasn't ideal, but I didn't have any complaints with it, neither did anyone else. And the other thing that a lot of people have commented on it without being there, and I think the people aren't understanding that last year we done 3 rounds of 5 minutes and we were in that hall till 11, maybe 12 o'clock, still racing. And having started at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's a long day.
Yeah. No, it was just because, obviously, I don't want to sound like I'm being negative about it, because I think, you know, the guys at EOS do a fantastic job. But I was just looking at it from a sort of thing, if I've paid my money to go on one pretense, and... thing to say, they've kind of this is a sort of, it's a monster of their own success. You know, it's a great event, so everybody wants to be there, which is, you know, brilliant, really. That's what you want. But then you're also in a position where they don't cap entries. So to me, and whether this is just in my opinion or not, it feels a little bit like, is that just being a bit greedy just to get and get the extra entries? Because they could have capped it at 120 and still had a, you know, a packed meeting. That would have been fine. It did feel a little bit like that. And I might be wrong, you know, and if I am, you know, I'm sure somebody will correct me. But yeah, it just felt like they could have maybe alleviated this with a little bit of forward thinking and then go, well, actually, we're not going to have, you know, 500 entries across 12 different classes. What can we do?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And I, that's the point that most other people have made. But to a point, I also think the number of entries, just the sheer number of people there, is what makes the event.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's kind of, you've got to look at it from both aspects. A lot of people are saying they shouldn't have done this, they shouldn't have done that. There's always going to be people that discriminate is the wrong word, but complain against what's happening. And at the end of the day, it is what it is, and you just got to go and enjoy it. And it was definitely one of the best events out there.
Yeah. Now, it seemed good, but I mean, even little things like how many people double classed. So how many people were doing, say, for example, I hate it, it's the American term, modern stock. So how many people were doing stock that were also doing mod? You know, they could have maybe reduced it saying, well, just do one class, you know, one class.
Was anyone really doing both?
Was there not?
Not that I know of. I might be wrong on that.
I know Mike Moyes did both, but obviously that's just one person. I assumed there'd be a couple of people doing two classes on a day that long just to try and keep busy.
Yeah, a lot of people on the four-wheel drive day did do truck. I mean, Venable's done truck and four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, I can't drive two classes on one day. I'm terrible at it. So for me, that option was out the window. And to be fair, I quite enjoyed. I think these meetings are more, I think if anything, they're more about the social aspect than they are just about flat-out racing.
It's interesting just to get another opinion on it, because obviously I wasn't there on one of the ones that wasn't. And I've kind of just formulated a little opinion based on what we've heard off other people kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just a case of just trying to get your opinion of what it was like there. Did you not think, because obviously we all know the B7 was released this week. I picked mine up on the Friday and I started building it as Jamie went on the track for round... That you'd just come off the track. Were you the heat before, Jamie?
Well, it feels like it was a year ago. I think so.
Yeah, I think you were like the heat before, Jamie. So I threw it on the telly in the building room, and I put it on. I think you'd just come off. Jamie was just going on, and I then finished the whole of the B7 build with electrics in before Jamie had gone back on the track again.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like you could literally build a new car for every run.
Yeah, most people were going back to... in Dorn, you have chalets, as they call it.
Yeah.
But basically a house. And you could go back to your house, have a nap, have a bit of lunch. You can go to the restaurant, have a lovely dinner, whatever. If you come from up north, you'd call it tea. You can have whatever you want and go and
have your tea
back to the next round.
Yeah. See, I like that idea, but then I also like the let's just get this race done and out of the way, and then we can go down the pub at the night.
Yeah, but there's also a bar at the track at Dorn.
Yeah, but you can't have a few bevvies and then race your qualifier, can you?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, not in when in Europe, mate. Do what the Europeans do.
Exactly.
I could just see drunk fights breaking out on the rostrum.
Yeah, but you've got enough time between rounds to sober up, I think.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. You can get absolutely trolleyed. and then finish your race off. Cool.
Class one.
So who did you go over with?
So obviously me and Woody travel together. We kind of share everything. So if we start from last week Wednesday, so he came over to mine on the Wednesday night, and we arranged our bags. Because obviously between us, we don't need to take two sets of tools. We don't need to take two sets of oils, charger, etc.
Yeah.
We kind of just share on that side. And then we met up with Venables in the morning, who came over to our place, my place. And then we went from here. My dad managed to drop us off in the morning because we're literally only 10 minutes or so from Heathrow.
Yeah.
So no need for a taxi. Then we went over. Innie met us at the airport. I'm not sure if you know Innie. He's a new guy that's just started racing at our place.
No, I've never heard of him before now.
No, he races at DS in our place. I think he's been racing, I want to say, about 8 months, if that. And he went over with us as well. Again, that's his first international experience. He hasn't done any regionals or nationals either. So it's his first real big experience, and he loved it.
So, I mean, talk about throw yourself in at the deep end.
Oh, yeah, but I think that's the only way you get those experiences. I think in terms of an experience, Dawn is definitely by far one of the best.
Yeah, it's the one that I would like to do. I've done two EOSs. I did the one in Worksop earlier. I also did the old German one in Andernacht at the old Arena 33 when it was the first one they did on Astro. And that's one of my favourite race meetings I've ever done. They really are a great meeting if guys have never done them, especially, you know, going over to Europe and stuff.
It's a completely different.
Yeah. But then Dawn is the one I'd like to do the most out of all of them. I'd love to do the Dawn one.
Anyone that can afford it, I recommend you do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think somebody did the maths and they worked out that it had cost them the same to drive over to it, stop for the day, race as much. And then just because it's obviously the big difference is it's limited. Is it two or one set of tyres now?
That's unless you make the A, then you get a third.
Yeah. So let's be honest, unless you're like super elite, it's two sets. You know, and that's really where it comes down to some of these things. Like MKGP is a great event, but, you know, a lot of people throw a set of tyres and run at it. And that's where the cost adds up. So if you look at cost from that sense, I don't think it's actually too expensive. I think it's a very fair price.
I mean,
for it, really.
On the topic of tyres, I didn't actually. So in two-wheel drive, I'd done my two sets of tyres.
Yeah.
In four-wheel drive, I ran the same set of tyres all the way through. I didn't actually buy a second set.
Oh, did it not need it?
It wasn't as if I didn't want to pay for them. It was more the case of I was going around and I was like, these tyres feel perfectly fine. I don't feel it's sliding. I don't feel like there's a lack of grip.
Yeah, that's,
How
that's
new was
good,
the carpet?
Isn't it?
I want to say brand new, but I'm not sure. The grip level was very similar to what we've got at our place at Slough.
Yeah.
So, which is brand new. So I would base it off of that. I would either say brand new or very, very lightly used.
Yeah.
It's. I'm not sure. I think they used to. Didn't it used to be a whole traveling circus? So each of the each one ran. I'm pretty sure that it was like an old. When it started, it was a traveling circus. So, like, the carpet and everything wasn't owned by the venues. It was just moved around by the EOS guys.
Yeah, it's still like that. But I think more so they have obviously, they've got a storage place over the entire year because, obviously, they only run twice a year. And then they ship out from there what they require. So that was different carpet to what they had at Han, because I wasn't there, but Jamie and Tommy were telling me that was a very different grip level.
Right, okay.
But it was definitely different carpet to that, whether it was just newer or whatever was going on, I'm not sure. But the grip was there. I wouldn't say it was low grip at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great series. And you say there's only two. I've then reduced the amount. I haven't really kept up to date with it, to be honest.
Yeah, just with the... I was speaking to Tony Reinhardt because I get on with him really well. He's a lovely guy to speak to. I don't know if you've ever spoken to him.
Only very briefly.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I spoke to him over the weekend, and basically the amount of the sheer cost of the venues has skyrocketed since COVID and everything. And basically, they've had to reconsider. And the only two feasible venues they found this year was Dawn and Hahn.
Yeah. But
I believe they're looking into a few others. I believe they're going to, is it Vienna for ETS next in a couple of months?
Yeah, I think that isn't the plan that they've got to run them sort of consecutive weekends kind of thing.
I believe so. So as far as I know, they hire the venue out for 2 weeks. So it covers ETS and EOS, as well as the rebuild in between.
Yeah, that was what I thought
this venue,
it would be.
This venue in Vienna apparently is quite promising because it's quite similar to the Dawn layout.
Oh, right, the little like the three pyramid kind of thing.
More so the accommodation kind of situation and everything. The trifecta, I like to call it.
Yeah.
With the restaurants and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it does help, doesn't it? Especially with such a long day. If you can do your whole sort of weekend on the one site, it is a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going between the track and the restaurants, a 5-minute walk, and then from there it's another 5 minutes to your house.
That's not bad. You can go back for a nap and have some dinner and chill out in between. You're not sort of stuck at a track eating like Mackey's all day every day.
Definitely not. The restaurant there is pretty good. I mean, I can't eat the majority of stuff in there, but even like the vegetarian and vegan options in there are very good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I think we should do it next year, Russ.
Yeah, no budget for that. Yeah, we'll see. Never say.
You got 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Start saving.
Yeah, I will, mate. I will. So how you been getting on at your club Slough, buddy? I've been watching the results. I think you made the A final all year, aren't you?
Yeah, we're getting there. Obviously, with the new carpet, it's changed things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the older carpet, people were saying, "Oh, it's worn out." I'm not sure. For me, I found it more enjoyable on the older carpet. The higher carpet brings closer racing and lower tyre wear, yes, but the older carpet, that little bit of slide, I quite enjoyed. And me and Lee had this conversation going back a couple of weeks, and we were both saying similar things, that bit of slide isn't a bad thing. It makes it a bit easier, especially for the beginners. Obviously, this high grip situation, it's quite hard to get a grasp of.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got the new carpet now. Last winter series was a big learning curve. It was literally the first time anyone had run on it apart from the Friday. And a lot of us were chasing setups. It wasn't a case of, oh, we know what to do. Everyone, I mean, the Halls were there. Ben Smith was there. I even saw Big Si get spanners out and start changing stuff. So it's another learning curve, but at some point it needed to be done. That's the main thing.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you a little bit. I quite like to, because obviously you changed the carpet kind of halfway through this series, haven't you? It's the first time I've come down to there. I think I might have missed one.
You missed the first one.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed the old carpet, like you say. That little bit of slide, a little bit of give. It was still carpet racing, but it wasn't that eyes on stalks. It wasn't that your eyes are on stalks. You've got to be absolutely on it flat out. I think it also promotes actual racing. I think the higher grip carpet, you're kind of, especially indoors, because obviously tracks are never, I mean, you do quite a good job of keeping them quite wide and not cramming too much into the space that you've got.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big issue that we have with some of our indoor tracks. It's like, take two corners out and have it a nice flowing wider track rather than, you know.
Agreed.
And then you combine that with a really high grip carpet, and then it just becomes your racing just to make people make a mistake, and that's the only way you're getting through.
Yeah.
And I think this is obviously, me and Russ were at Cardiff for the Cobra series this weekend, just gone. And I think their carpet's a little bit worn. It's not quite as grippy as, say, yours is now at Slough. And it really does. It promotes that you can actually race and put moves on each other.
Definitely.
And I think I miss that. I really enjoyed the carpet you had. I did, me personally, like you, so I don't think there was a massive need to change it, but.
I think the main reason we ended up doing it was more the tyre wear. I mean, the layouts I like to run are definitely not tyre friendly. Those faster corners and those sweeping bends don't help with your tyre wear. If you were to put more jumps in, you don't have those sweeping corners, and you had more hairpin kind of corners with more slow rollers, etc., etc., you'd first of all slow down the lap time. And you'd also have less tyre wear just because you're not going round corners on power. But for me, that's not enjoyable. I want fast corners. I think that's how tracks should be.
Yeah, there should be a nice mix.
Should be a flow.
Yeah. How I like...
You're broken.
I like when you have a good mix of both.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, how was Jamie's layout at the weekend? Did you use that one in the end?
Yeah, we did. I drew it up with him as I think he mentioned on the podcast last time. But, we ran it as per his drawing. We didn't change a thing. We put it down as per his request. There's quite a mixed bag on it. The quicker guys enjoyed it, but said it was hard. And the slower guys, if anything, struggled with it a little bit just because of the visibility more than anything. The jumps that we had out, we had the tabletop in the bottom right corner, and it meant you had to come across it at an angle, but you couldn't quite see the up ramp.
Yeah.
Now, for the quicker guys, not an issue. We come out the corner, we can line the car up. For the slower guys, we have got quite a lot of newbies at our place, and we're always trying to accommodate for everyone. And what they were finding is quite hard to judge which direction their car was going in. So they were tending to roll it rather than jump the tabletop, just so they knew where they were going. On the same token, there's only one way to get better at something you don't know how to do.
Yeah.
It's just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought the layout was really good. And apparently, as we've already discussed, I hated the bit everybody else liked and liked the bit everybody else hated.
That might have something to do with your height, though, Bowden. If you think about it, you're taller than most. So maybe you could see that jump a little bit better.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that double onto the straight. I only missed it once in actual qualifying. In warm-up, I seem to miss it every warm-up lap. You know, it was like, well, I've got that out of the way then. But then the one I hated, like we've talked about, is that little bobbly one coming back towards you. I just couldn't do it. The one on the right, fine, lovely, felt great. The one on the left, fine, brilliant, I could nail that. Down ramp, great. That stupid one in the middle, oh, hated it. Most hateful jump. The first thing I want to do this week, next weekend when we're there, is literally I want to make sure that's facing the right way.
You know what? I'm going to put it in just as you like it.
Yeah. If it's not, I'm taking a hatchet to it. Literally. You won't have to. It won't be a jump. It'll be a rumble strip. But no. So, are we getting any clues on the thingy? I know you've said you've been given a design for one. You've given up your track designing privileges for another weekend. Who are we shouting at if this one isn't very good?
This one is Tommy Hall, because he didn't enjoy the layout Jamie done. So it's on him this time.
Right, so he's put his money where his mouth is.
Exactly. I said, look, I'll bring the iPad over now and we can do it now. That's what we did.
Well, it's not like you didn't have the time in between rounds at dawn.
Exactly. Yeah, we've done a layout. I'm not sure when we're going to run it because it involves a jump that I haven't quite got the parts for yet. So it's a bit dependent on that. But it's definitely more of a layout I would draw opposed to the one that Jamie drew. Yeah, it's a bit more crazy with the jumps in typical kind of Slough fashion, I think. But we'll have to see. I need to try and... I haven't shown Dad yet, so that means he might look at it and go, there's no way we're putting that out. Yeah, it's a possibility. We need to look into it. I might take sections from it. There is a section of it which is quite extravagant and ambitious, I would say.
You've got a crossover in it.
It has got a crossover in it.
I'm good at this.
Oh, Tommy.
Thomas.
It's got a very interesting crossover in it.
Oh, God, that means everybody is going to get an exploded car.
Yeah, this is why I'm not so sure if we're going to run it, but we'll have a look.
Oh, dear. Is he putting like a, you know, I'm a European champion, sod everybody else, catch up?
I can't completely blame him. The jump was kind of my idea, and he definitely did encourage it. So I'm not taking the blame, and I'm not putting the blame on him. But, there is a rather large feature in that track.
Oh, dear.
I definitely want to go now. Book me in. I want to come in.
Your 8-scale skills will help.
Yeah, it'll be fine, man.
He doesn't have any 8-scale. He's only 8-scale skills are turning up in the morning.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Bruce.
Oh, right. Okay. I forgot we only care about Bruce.
I ain't getting Bruce out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to come racing because he'll be a nightmare for the rest of the weekend. So it'll just be me. The superstar can stay in bed.
That's what sedatives are for.
Yeah. So cool.
But now, I think we definitely need to go now. Then, Russ, it's decided. You booked in.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
I'm coming.
I know Jamie and Tommy are thinking about coming, but I know Ben Smith isn't doing the next one, basically just because of the fact that Worksop is the day after.
They are then, Russ. You're you can have Ben Smith's space. No pressure, but you've got to live up to his pace as well.
Yeah, no problems, man. Anytime. Anytime. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. His place in the A final.
Yeah, easy. You watch.
Oh, no. Hold on. Let's not get ambitious. Just trying to give you a reason to come. Actually, you can have your space in the pit, so you can pit away from us. Nah, I think it's actually... I've really enjoyed the Slough series. I know we kind of committed to coming down last year, but unfortunately, due to whatever, I couldn't make most of them last year. So it was one of the series that I really wanted to come down and have a little go at and see what it was all about. And I've really, really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
You know, the combination of decent tracks, good racing, and the fact that you remain in the pit room away from your dad so we don't have to laugh at you two bickering.
Oh, that's a big part of it, is it?
Yeah. Well, it's hilarious, mate. I mean, normally it's hilarious listening to you and your dad have an argument, but it's quite distracting when you're pigging yourself laughing when you're on the rostrum.
Yeah.
But, you know.
From EOS, I've kind of taken some pointers from EOS because by far that track is one of the best I've ever raced.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to do? Glue the carpet down?
Sorry?
You're going to glue the carpet down?
They don't glue it. They double-side it with I believe it's carpentry tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So they've got no... Me and Eugene and a few others were standing there and looking at what they'd done. So they've done overlap in the carpet. Sorry, there's no overlap. They're butted end to end.
Yeah.
And then there's a run of tape across the joint, but exactly where the racing line would be, there is no tape.
Oh, right. Okay. So what did they do? Just part glue it and then put double-sided underneath it?
I'm not entirely sure because there was no point at which the track was empty, so I couldn't go and check. But I don't know what they're doing, but that is the way that we need to be doing it because there is no slip point. You go across that, you go along it, there is no slip point.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the most annoying things about carpet racing, going across a strip of Velcro and spinning out.
Yeah, but then also, mate, I think with you guys who need to lay that track every day, every sort of Friday, if you start having no Velcro on these apexes, rather than at the minute you've got those like four or five nice long one single pieces of Velcro that run the whole length of the hall, potteries do the same, you're just going to end up with like a million little bits of Velcro sticking the track down. And yeah, it's just not going to be feasible for you as a club, whereas that's a one-off event. They can do that and just order another roll of Velcro for the next time.
More than feasible. I think it's a time constraints thing.
Yeah. I don't think there's much. There's not as much slip point with the new way that everybody's using this Velcro upside down rather than when they used to use like duct tape. I think when people used to use duct tape, it used to give it more slip.
You think?
Yeah, definitely. Because what you'd do is you'd have the point where the car would come off the carpet, so you'd have grip, and then it'd slide on the Velcro, the duct tape, with the duct tape being like a shiny surface. And then as it slid, you'd feel the car would start to rotate, but then it'd hit that grip point again.
Snap.
And it'd snap, or that's where you'd get grip roll sliding onto the... hitting the tape, sliding, then going off the tape. And I think that's the problem. With the Velcro, I don't think you get it as much.
See, I think it's just as bad. But on that token, I've been trying... There's a few different variants of tape. So there's another tape we've got at the moment that we're trying, which is like a rubber back tape. So the top of it is... It's not smooth. It's more of an abrasive, like rubber-like texture on top.
Yeah.
That we thought would get... They use it at... what's that? EWS.
Yeah, the...
I thought we'd give it a go.
Yeah, I think what they do in touring car, I don't think they use the Velcro, obviously, because of it. It doesn't sit as well, does it? On the thing, they're definitely tight.
Yeah, it's a raise.
Yeah, but I think the couple of times I've been to, like with the buggy, and you've been to predominantly on-road clubs, a lot of them have used, I don't want to say it's like a masking tape, but it's more like that, more like a painter's tape.
Yeah.
So it's like a paper-backed tape.
Yeah.
I don't know how, obviously they've got slicks. I don't know how it would stand up to our like spiky tyres rather than slicks. So
I think that's where the issue is. Where we've got the spike, obviously you're going from a pile to something that's smooth.
Yeah.
So obviously in the pile it digs in, and on that smooth surface there's nothing for it to dig into, which is causing the slip.
Mm-hmm.
So we almost need to maybe get some Velcro and glue some EOS to the back of it, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, your only other option would be, and I don't know what it is, you know, the EOS carpet, is it the same texture on the other side?
No, we've thought about this, sticking the Velcro to the underside.
Yeah, you couldn't do it.
No, the Velcro, the carpet on the underside is more tightly packed, so it doesn't really stick as well. And as over time, as you've got weight across it, it becomes even more flatter and flatter.
Right, okay. You can tell how much I roll carpet out.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it was just a thought, that was all, mate. I mean, there's not really anything wrong with the way you're doing things. It's a really good event, good fun. Keep that one up, and I'll bring Russ down on the next one to have a bash.
Yeah, definitely. How's the shop, mate? Are you busy? When we did the pre-interview to start with, you were just trying to put some stuff away, weren't you? So
yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. It's obviously with the cost of living at the moment, everything's dropped. Everyone's trying to save everywhere they can, which is understandable, but I mean, it takes a knock-on effect to these smaller shops. I mean, it's okay. It's still covering itself. That's all that really matters. There's not that much money or margin in shops, as yeah. I'm sure you know. But it's more to get these guys that are coming in via the club going rather than anything else. We've got a lot of new beginners coming in, and it's, okay, where do we get so-and-so and so-and-so? And it's just easier to say, okay, we can get this for you. We can get it in. We can have it here tomorrow. I can post it out to you. It's more that kind of, it's more those kind of sales. I mean, when we're off from the club, our sales drop drastically. So mainly it's just our club guys that the sales are mainly, because it's just easier. We're trackside. We've got a van full of stock. I mean, we do well through the winter, obviously, at our own place. And then when we go to regionals and nationals, it goes quite well in terms of, obviously, trackside sales. Yeah. I mean, in that sense, it's still quite old-fashioned. Everyone's online, but a lot of people don't like to do that. A lot of people aren't that prepared. I mean, they get to a meeting and they go, oh, we need a set of tyres. Who's got a set of tyres for sale?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going terribly. Yeah.
Cool. Any plans to go bricks and mortar, or are you just going to stay?
I mean, the issue with going bricks and mortar where I'm based is just the sheer cost of a warehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking recently just to, you know, it's always a fantasy of getting a permanent indoor club. And the costs are just absolutely insane, with it being how close we are to Heathrow and all the trading estates, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is as well, these new cars, you know, and not just one brand in particular, all of the brands of the cars, the X-Ray, Shoeys, AEs, Serpent, everything, the manufacturing stuff and the parts quality now is getting so high that I don't think you see as many breakages these days.
Yeah, for sure.
So really, shops, you're relying on turnover of consumables more than parts and kits. So, you know, your oils, tires, wheels, maybe, but a lot of people still acetone and reuse wheels. Yeah. And people are more than happy to buy that sort of stuff on the day. Like for me, if I needed, you know, if I look at my bag and I'm like, I'm at Slough this weekend. Oh crap, I've ran out of cactus. I'll just be like, can I pick some cactus up from you on Sunday? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to necessarily go to a shop.
Yeah.
It's like, but then on the same token, as I say that, this week I built the B7, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna treat myself. My old pinion had got my old 23 tooth had got like a chip in one of the teeth to the right. I'll go and get a new pinion, and I was able just to pop up to Penn Models and get one. So I can see like an argument for both, but for the majority of the business, unless you're selling like, if you're just a race shop rather than a shop that's gonna sell, you know, your FTX, your Ant, your Armors, your Traxxas, your Basher kind of stuff, you don't need a bricks and mortar shop, do you?
For sure. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's just sell trackside, sell the bits people want, make your money that way. As long as you're not wanting to take over the world with it and be a billionaire from it, and you just want it as a little bit of a steady turnover income, you're fine.
Exactly.
No, I think it's been a big change, hasn't it, for shops in the way they have to run their business before, yeah, you know. I mean,
one thing we've noticed is our main sales at the moment are tyres and mainly the stuff that we produce via SEMCS. So we do the Fusion shock towers, which is via obviously Fusion. We do our own little glue tips, which I'm sure you know about. We also do our new stealth motor plate for the Yokomo.
Yeah, is that the one where you... Is that the four-wheel... It slid forward, was it?
That's it. Yeah. So that kind of stuff I'm finding is more what we're selling, because mainly because we're the only people that sell it, and that is what we do.
Yeah. Well, that's it. If you're the only one making it, then that's sort of where it comes from, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, I think, like you say, if you don't need the business, like the online to bricks and mortar. Don't, why risk the good thing you've got going?
Exactly.
You know, stick with what you're doing. It's fine. And obviously it helps support your club as well. The guys there, now there's a constant supply of bits and pieces that they can have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the guys at the club either race a Yoke or a Schumacher or an Associated. Mainly, the guys that run the Shuby or the Yoke, we've got a van full of spares. So if it's a case of, oh, I've broken a wishbone, it's just, Yaz, I need this. Can you go and get it, please? And it's like, okay, 5 minutes and you've got a wishbone on your car. You don't. I think it's a lot more appealing for those guys that are coming new into it, that they don't need to turn up to a track with an immense amount of spares.
Yeah,
it reduces a lot of the cost, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Which is a big thing for people, like you say, we've got the cost of living going up. If you're not having to carry, you know, three sets of wishbones for yourself because you struggle to get them, then, you know, you're sound, aren't you? You haven't got a stress.
Is your little brother lost the love for racing now, mate? I know he's been a while since he has raced. Does he ever do any club stuff on a Friday with you?
No, long gone. He's at university and studying physics.
Okay,
with
cool.
More of an interest in gaming rather than RC car. What's his chosen game? At the moment, I wouldn't know. I haven't touched a console in over a year.
Oh, man.
I'd probably say, was it the new Modern Warfare at the moment?
Yeah.
New Modern Warfare, probably. I don't know if he's still playing Fortnite, but that, I think, is long gone.
Yeah.
For that sort of thing.
Yeah, class. And how's your dad? Is he all right?
Yeah, he's getting on. He didn't go to Germany, obviously. I think, generally, obviously, now that I'm renting my own cars, he doesn't really stuff.
Yeah.
So I think slightly less racing on his account. He's still doing the Nationals. You haven't got rid of him completely. Yeah. He'll still be at the Nationals. He'll still be obviously doing the Regionals locally. But yeah, just he's well, just a little bit less on his side, I think.
Yeah. I've got to say, I love his videos from he does the A-finals that he puts up from every slow meeting you do. He's perfect, mate. He's just enough. Great camera angle he's got off that rostrum. You know, that step. I don't know if he stands on the rostrum steps or on a box or something, but that angle is perfect. You pretty much, even if the commentator is talking about something else, you can 90% of the time it's normally in a camera shot anyway. You know.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's all right. Cool.
I'm sure you can check up on him when you see him in a couple of weeks.
I will. Tell him I'm going to give him I'm going to give him a massive bear hug. Tell him.
I'm not sure if he'll run.
Yeah, well, you won't be able to run faster than me. So that'd be quite interesting, both of us running though, won't it?
Well, I have to get the camera out.
Yeah. So obviously your plans for this year are Nationals, two-draw, four-drive, and did you say you're going to do the Regionals as well?
The Regionals, the timings are a bit weirder on the Regionals this year. So they've started the four-wheel drive Regionals already. Unfortunately, I can't make two out of the three rounds they're doing.
Yeah.
Because one was the weekend just gone. Obviously, I was in Dawn. The next round is the week before MKGP. So, again, really, I need to be preparing for that. We've also got a shop at the MKGP again this year. So a chunk of my time is going to go into preparing for that.
That's an early start, isn't it, for regionals? Sorry, just quickly going back.
So they've tried to. They were struggling with four wheel drive numbers, so they've tried to move it along. So last year we had them combined on the same day.
Yeah.
And we were only really getting one or two heats of four wheel drive, so they've split it to try and urge some more numbers being on a separate weekend. I mean, I think it has worked. I think I want to say they had about 38 or 40 odd at the meeting over the weekend. So it's not bad, but it's not really ideal. I mean, it's too early. It is quite early in the year, which means all the rounds will be wet more than likely.
Yeah.
But I know the one they've just had on the weekend gone was dry. They got really lucky with the weather. So I'm not sure. I can't do two of the rounds, so there's no point in me really doing the third round because it won't count towards anything.
Yeah.
Fair. Oh, so they're only doing three rounds in four-wheel drive in your region?
Yeah, three rounds, two to count.
Wow. All right, okay.
Well, if I tell you what, yeah, so if you don't do the regionals in your area, that would give you an opportunity to come up to the hard region and have a go up here.
The hard region, really?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I know, just saying.
I think this year our region's the one to do, considering how many of our regionals are on the national calendar.
Yeah, good point. Good.
I think you got two. Is it three?
Yeah.
Torque. Oh, Stotfold, of course.
Stotfold.
Yeah, so if you don't make an A final this year, Yaz, it might be time to retire.
Yeah, I never. It won't be a Stotfold, I know that much.
Do you not get on with Stotfold?
I love Stotfold. I love going there, but I never do well there because I tend to drive too hard for that track.
Oh, you're a bit too full send.
A little bit, but I don't know how Venables is then quick round there because he's more full send than me.
Yeah, well, for a long time he was a student, mate, so he never actually did anything, so he probably was camped there for a while. Yeah,
he's there. Still in that student mindset. Don't let it fool you.
He's launched a new business today, hasn't he? I saw on Facebook.
Yeah, it's not new. He's had it for a while. It's just he's done it. He's gone more full time with it.
I know he was talking about doing stickers, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much we can talk about that.
Can we not?
I'm not sure.
He's launched it on Facebook today.
Has he?
I don't know about stickers.
If you haven't launched it on Facebook today, Will, I'm very sorry that I've just given away your surprise business idea.
I'm just heading there now. Give me a second, guys. Sorry.
We'll check it. And if he hasn't released it, we might cut it out. But if you don't want it after this is released, Will, let us know and we'll cut it out for you. I mean, everybody will have already heard it beforehand. So
I don't think it's official.
No, he's just what he's listed today is managing social media, influencer marketing, digital ads, e-commerce, Amazon photography, branding and design, and more. So, yeah, so...
we ended up shouting out Venables on this.
.will.co.uk. Maybe you should come on, Will, and tell us all about it.
Influencer.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're going to see him, like, making 40-second videos on TikTok about...
Well, I mean, there was no comment, so it's actually influencer marketing, whatever the hell that is. You know what I mean? You can influence Red Bull, Will. That would be a good one.
It says, a digital workplace driven by creativity. There's just a big button here that says, give me a call. I'm quite tempted to press it. Just to see what happens. You start ringing Venables.
Do it at 2 o'clock in the morning, just before you go to bed. That'll be funnier.
Yeah. Very slick website. See how it work.
He does do websites. His websites are pretty good.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
I have to give him that.
Yeah, cool. All right, then, Yas, have you got anything else you want to mention before we let you go? Anything we've missed in our little chat that we've had?
Not really.
No. Are you happy?
Just thinking through. All good.
Cool. Have I missed anything, Chris? I think we've covered everything we spoke about in the pre-interview chat.
Yeah, I think we have. I think we have covered everything, plus a bit more jibber-jabber.
Wicked. All right then, yes, sir.
What we've waffled a bit.
Do you want to thank your sponsors before we let you go?
Yep. So we've got Schumacher Racing. We've got obviously SEMCS, which is my dad and myself. Speedworks for all the lubricants, etc., etc. Looking around my shell. TMG Speed for various bits. TWR for various bits again. Puppy Paint for my ever awesome shells, and RC House for the amazing sticker.
Cool. Brilliant, mate.
And you guys.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks. You know, not many people thank us, you know. we're doing our bit. right then, mate. Hopefully, I'll see you at Slough in a couple of weeks.
Yep, I'll put you on the list.
I'll bring my race face. Wicked.
Right, catch up with you soon.
Cheers, mate.
See you later. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
And he's gone. How about that? Hung up pretty much straight away.
He must have been fed up talking to us.
Yeah, but must have been sick of us from the pre-interview. I don't know. So I suppose we'll just talk about Cardiff at the weekend then.
Yeah, a bit of a last-minute one for me again, as just it seems to be most of my racing this way.
Did you book him before the shut-off this time, though? Or did Steve threaten to murder you again?
No, Steve didn't. Steve was actually, you know, very, very accommodating. It wasn't quite the shut-off.
Yeah.
I did message him on, I think it was the Friday. Yeah, it was the Friday night on the way to Potteries. I messaged him while I'd stopped at the services to get a drink.
Yeah.
So I sent him a quick message just saying, "You're right, Steve, just wondering any places still available for the weekend." He was like, "Yes, mate, booking on the website." So when I got to Potteries, I went to booking on the website, and for whatever reason, it just wasn't working. I think it's still new phone syndrome with nothing quite. So anyway, I messaged him on the Saturday morning. I didn't message him too late on the night because I thought, well, A, he won't have the laptop open, and B, who wants to be pestered at stupid o'clock at night about booking in?
Yeah.
So I just left it at that, and I was like, right, I'll call him in. So I messaged him in the morning. He was like, "Yeah, not a problem, mate. I'll get the laptop. I'm getting the laptop out about 1 o'clock, and that's the cutoff, and I'll sort it from there. I'll put you in, just pay on the day." So thank you very much, mate. Much appreciated. So I turned up on the day. I was seeded into
top eight. Yeah,
which I was quite chuffed with, because, well, I expected, because when you're booking late, I kind of always expect just to be given whatever position is available within the thing. So I was half expecting to be like, you know, in qualifying one with Bruce.
Yeah.
But it was like, no, I was like, all right, okay, big deal here, I know. And now, obviously running the new car, second meeting out, didn't really want to change a lot. I mean, the car felt really good as it was, but I just wanted to just drive it, just get used to it, get a nice solid baseline, and then make changes, you know, a bit further down the line, which is what I'm planning to do this weekend.
Cool. Well, it looked good, you know.
It some tweaking needed, but it was good.
Yeah.
Good start.
Class. Yeah, I mean, same for me. Obviously, we'd booked in a couple of weeks ago. Yes, I normally book in series open, because obviously when you're doing a series, you're panicking that you're not going to get a place, are you? So I'm literally waiting for it to open so I can get myself booked in. Cool.
It's been a popular series, hasn't it? Because that was the last one of the Cobra, wasn't it?
No, there's one more.
The Sword. Is that not the last one of the Sword series?
There's one more, I think. One more.
All right, okay.
I'm sure there is. Well, they didn't do the trophies, so yeah, there must be one more.
All right, okay, cool.
Have I made it up? I don't know. I'll let you know. I think there's one more. But yeah, so I tell you what, should we talk about the nightmare I had with Bruce? Well, not after it. Actually, that sounds really bad, doesn't it? I mean, with Bruce's car, before we get to the finals.
Yeah, so, it wasn't. Let's be clear. Bruce was exceptionally well behaved. Yeah. He wasn't, you know, the nightmare was not.
Yeah.
The nightmare wasn't him.
Yeah, so obviously you were there, sat opposite me, but I've got to talk to you like you weren't there, so it sounds all right for the listeners, if you know what I mean, Chris. So, went out with practice, everyone practiced, everyone was happy, and I came to turn Bruce's car on for heat one, and I pressed the button and nothing happened, and I'm like, oh no, pressed it again, nothing happened, and all of a sudden I'm panicking, looking at the battery connections, have I plugged this in backwards? No, I hadn't, and it just like the switch had failed on the speedo, hadn't it? So,
yeah, he wouldn't turn on for whatever reason.
So he had to miss his first race, which he took quite well. And then obviously I'm panicking. I'm like, I haven't got a spare speedo. This is my RC10, blah, blah, blah. I said, I haven't got a speedo. And you're offering me a brand new 610 in a box. I'm like, nah, no, thank you.
I only had two options.
I know. So anyway, Roger had one. Roger's like, oh, bless him, not knocking him. Roger, I've got one rust piece in the car. I'm like, oh. Nah, you're all right. So anyway, you managed to dig out that old Hobbywing speedo that you had, didn't you? That I ran in the four-wheel drive car at workshop.
3.1.
Yeah. So anyway, you gave me that, and I'm not knocking you, like I said on the day, but I looked at it, and there was no wires on it. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to solder this wires onto a speedo here with anything. Anyway, Roger saves the day with his Centro soldering iron. And obviously, I work for the distributor of these irons. And I've looked at him in the past, but never really thought, you know, if I need a soldering iron, I really need like a base station one you plug in the wall. And he passed it. Yeah. He's like, no, trust me, it'll do that. And I'm like, you ain't going to do a speedo, Roger. It's ain't going to get hot enough. He says, trust me, it will. So he passes me over, hands me a 6S battery. And the weight that was lifted off my shoulders when I literally just tapped it on the motor and the wire just fell off in my hand. I'm like, oh, we're all right here. So I stripped Bruce's speedo down, took all the wires off his speedo, put them on your speedo, got it all in the car and got it working again. And he was ready for the second round. So that was pretty good, that was, you know, because I was like, I was just so down that, oh God, this is going to be an absolute nightmare. We're never going to get this sorted. So when we didn't have any short day, then did we? So,
now, I have got to say, like, despite the fact, again, you know, very, very grateful and for the support, but I've always looked at them Centro irons and I've been like, I think because I'm so attached, I've got the LRP base station one, which, which I think there's a general consensus it is the best. And I'm so attached to it, but then carrying it to like Cobra just for a club meeting in a separate bag and all that, it's just too much hassle. So most of the time I'm reliant on the same as you, anybody got a soldering iron. But after seeing that, I was so impressed with that CML one, 24 volt 6S battery. But that's obviously a battery, whereas I've got a 24 output on my charger.
Yeah.
So I think it'll just complement my kit very well. I can leave the base station one either on the desk at home and then not have to carry it around with me.
Yeah.
Or I could even just leave it in the van when I go to the bigger events.
I'm a total convert for it. Total convert. So
yeah, I am now.
Yeah. So yeah, that was good. Roger Mills managed to qualify the pair of us into the A final. I think he qualified fifth. I qualified seventh, and you qualified ninth or tenth in the A?
Tenth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you had a couple of both you and Roger. Although Roger had, I'm not saying again. Roger, if you're listening, you're the best mate. But you had a flipping lucky run in that first one when everyone crashed, and you had a second in round or whatever it was, which obviously helped him no end. I mean, he had a really good one, which in the first round, which bumped him right up the scores, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a third in round.
Yeah, the third in round. So that carried him through nicely. I think I had like a fifth and a sixth in round, something like that.
I had, I think I was either a 7 and 8 or an 8 and 9.
Yeah.
I can't remember which. But, you know, considering it was a new car, I was really happy with that. Like, I was just there to basically put laps on a car so that I could get used to it and see how it was going. But, yeah, really good. Final didn't quite go my way. But,
well, both you and Rod crashed in the first lap, didn't you?
Well, I don't want to say I crashed because – and I'm not going to drop anybody under the bus.
For a change. But,
yeah, just for a change. I don't want it to sound like I crashed. I was given no choice in being in the crash or not. No.
Did someone smash you off at the end of the straight?
No. So
sorry.
There was carnage at the end of the straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got through that. And I think you got through it. And you were in like fourth, weren't you, after that?
Yeah, I smashed it, mate. You wouldn't believe, Chris, I literally drove through from the back.
Well, exactly,
and everyone,
the same as what
everyone crashed in front of me. Everyone.
Exactly,
and next thing I know, I'm in third place. Yeah.
Being 10th on the grid, I come tootling down the straight. And as I'm coming down the straight and taking the right-hand sweeper, everybody's on their roof. And it's just like, oh, cheers, boys.
Yeah.
And I came round and I was literally like, you know, you had the left hand, that long sort of accelerating left hander that came round, and there was a jump before the switch back onto the double.
Yeah.
I came round that probably only about 10 foot behind you.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was in like fourth, 10th to fourth. This is great. This is. And then we did a lap, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like everybody was still bunched together, but there was enough of a spread. So I'd come off the double and I'd done the double going away from the rostrum. went round the left-hander, swept it back, done the ripple stop, about to take the right-hander to go through that, and somebody got the double wrong and just went into the side of me and put me on the, you know, them really tall bot dots that flip you over. And it was the one where they'd got the rope wrapped around it. So I was on the rope as well. And then the marshal runs out and, you know, bless him, I don't think he was like, you know, one of the, like a racer. I think he's just a clubby guy. He gets the car that's come off the jump and runs him back to the, like the bit where he came off, and then runs back and gets me, at which point I'm like ninth again. I was like, really? Great. Oh, but no, it was still good. It was, you know, it was, I got to then start trying to put, I just thought, well, you guys were too far down the road then to really catch without a lot of mistakes. So
I have my best result there I've had in a long time, mate, to be honest. I mean, I've, luckily I've made the eight the last couple of meetings, but I've everyone's just had a load more pace than me, and I've just been struggling around at the back. But this one, obviously I got lucky in the final with a couple of people crashing in front of me. But man, like Rush Victory kept catching me, overtaking me, and then dropping back again after he'd crashed, and then he'd catch me again and overtake me. And he's an old, proper old hand, man, because he was really hounding me. He's like an interest, the back wheels of my car, and Tony Bishop was coming around to lap us, and he was really, really holding Tony up, because he was knowing that if I let go, if I go wide to let Tony through, he's going to sneak through with him, and I was having none of it. So I was just defending like I'd never defended before. And then we kind of had a little bobble and got separated, and then Tony got in between us, and I let Tony go, obviously, and then we were back together again, and he got past me. But I got up to third again for a little while, and then I went down to fifth, and then literally the corner before the loop, fourth place crash, and I got fourth again over the line. So I was chuffed. I had a really, really good day. So, and Bruce has gone up another final again. He was in the C final this week. He qualified.
He drove really well, mate.
There were some laps, mate, where I did the old thing where I used to look at the rostrum to see if it was him holding the transmitter. But yeah, he was in the C final, qualified 9th or 10th in the C final, and finished 5th or 6th. So yeah, he had a really good one as well. So we're getting there. So yeah,
and he got involved in a bit of banter against Breezy, didn't he?
Oh God, yeah. Can you imagine Bruce wearing a dress at the first regional of the year, losing a bet with a grown man?
Oh. The thing is, as his father, would you have made him honour his bet?
I think Bruce needs to make his own decisions, but yeah.
You know, but you've got to teach him. If you made the bet, mate.
He just needs a long T-shirt with a belt around it. It'd be fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
So it was really good. And obviously, you know, thanks for driving that day. And it was, you know, it was class that we had. There was four of us in the car, me, you, Breezy and Bruce, all just taking the mick out of each other. for the whole journey back. So you know, it was class, mate.
Yeah, it was good. It's always a good race down there. I'd highly recommend it if you're able to get there.
It's the secret winter series. I mean, obviously, if you're like a superstar like the Halls, you're going to wipe the floor with everyone. But if you're a genuine club racer like me and Chris, you will fit straight in. And honestly, it's just the best. You know, that's the easiest way to describe it. You anywhere this weekend?
I am. Well, I did Dudley Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did that. That was really good. Put some laps on the car.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Midlands middle of the week, but then our pesky podcast got in the way.
Yeah, it does do that.
So I won't be doing that. I'm at Potteries Friday night.
Yeah.
With Mr. Phipps. And then I will be at Dudley on Sunday.
Dudley, are we?
Yeah, back at Dudley. Just for their last round of their winter series. Unfortunately, I've done one. I haven't been able to do the middle two because one clashed with Bury. And I can't remember what the other one clashed with. But it was to a series I'd already like committed to and booked in for and everything like that. So... but I think this should qualify. I think it's two from four that count. So if I can get a decent result in this one, I made the back of the A in the first one. So if I can get a decent result in this one, I might be all right. But it's apparently it's quite busy this weekend because they are also the first indoor, the first regional for us.
Yeah.
So it's going to be quite a busy day. I will be there. I haven't raced for a long time with Princess, so Princess is there, so we'll have a good day with that.
Yeah, don't smash him off the track, mate. Yeah.
Well, I can't promise
anything. Don't get revenge for all the times he's nailed you off.
Well, the thing is, even though I did it to him and cost him the A final, yeah. I'm still well in credit.
Yeah, well in credit.
You know what I mean? It's like yeah. there's still a few times before the, there's still a few times before we're even.
Yeah.
I probably won't. I'll try not to put Ian on his roof this week, but.
Yeah, cool.
But no, I've just got a bit of a bug. But you know what it's like, new car syndrome. You get a new car, you end up racing everywhere for the first fortnight.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of that.
Yeah, cool. We're just practicing this weekend. We're going down to Ledbury, just to smash some laps in. The weather's looking good actually, so should be okay. That should be a bit of fun actually. Nothing, just laid back. Me, Bruce, Gio, I think Reese is coming. Who else is coming? You know Harry Lawrence, that new club race disappeared. Just quite a bit down at Midlands and with Breezy and Darren Malt. But he's on about coming as well, just for practice. So it should be a bit of fun.
Should be a good laugh. Yeah, there's that. Obviously, still waiting on the body shells for the B7s coming back from the painters. Got me new stickers on order, courtesy of RDT.
Yeah.
Who, very grateful for them coming on board and looking after me for this from now on.
So factory, you got your own sticker sponsor. Love it.
Well, mate, they're shiny, aren't they? You've got to.
They're shiny.
Like, that's it. I'm slowly becoming the team associated magpie, But no, so it's just stuff like that. Just organising, getting the cars ready. We're finishing this about 9:30. I'm going to go and get the bag and do a bit of wrenching tonight before work tomorrow, and then that's me done, ready for Potteries tomorrow night.
Nice.
Well, Friday night.
Nice. I've just got to mention the Scotty Ernst meeting has been really announced again for this year. I think it's the May. Is it the May Bank holiday or just the end of May? I can't remember.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you've got a big meeting when the West Mid regionals move their dates to not clash with you.
I did notice that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was quite good. You're a big deal when they move a meeting. I mean, last year they wouldn't even move a meeting for a truck national.
Yeah.
But Scotty turns up, bang. Sorry, we'll move it.
Yeah. Class.
It's been good. Yeah.
You gonna go to that one again this year?
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
It's honestly, mate. If you can't come, I'm gonna drag you there because it's a massive load of good fun.
I need to check the calendar because obviously we've got quite a lot of Athlone this year. I don't know where we are. Because they normally do the Blackpool Nationals around that sort of time. Nationals, Blackpool meetings. So we'll have a look. Yeah. We'll have a look. If we've got nothing.
I mean, the thing is, it's lovely weather. You can come and camp for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's lovely weather.
Yeah, I don't
care. It always is. You'll love it, mate.
No, I don't camp, darling. I'm going to get me a hotel.
You're not going to drive it every day, are you?
No, I'm going to hotel it. I'm going to do it at the Rear Motor Challenge.
And eat beans for the rest of the month.
Yeah, well, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We know what you'll find a way. We'll find a way. Cool. Right then, that's that. There's nothing else we've got on the notes. I think we might as well just knock it on the head, bro. Would you like to thank the sponsors?
I would, mate. Thank you to CML Distribution. Thank you to RC House. Thank you to Schumacher Racing. And thank you to Will Speed.
Perfect, and I'll thank the listeners. Guys, thank you very much for getting involved with our Car Crash of a Podcast. We appreciate We appreciate each and every one of you. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with a prize at Christmas. If you have won a prize this Christmas, I am on top of it, and all the emails are being sent, and you will be getting your prize very, very soon. Thank you for your patience. That's it.
And just to point out that if you haven't claimed your prize, the prizes that are there, I am going to claim on your behalf, and I'm going to take them to the MKGP meeting, and I'm going to give them out to random children who deserve them for good marshalling. So if you haven't bothered to claim, at least know your prize is going somewhere the way it'll be appreciated.
Perfect. Christopher, you've been wonderful as always, and I will see you on the internet before I speak to you on this next week, all right?
That's great. Cheers, mate. I'll see you next week.
Drop.